A team with high hopes and high expectations deserve high-quality coverage.
Matthews with a shot, score! Marner, score! Wee Willie Nylander!
Good thing you've come to the right place. You're listening to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
So a minute 15 in. Oh, the LaCrosse try again! Are you kidding me? He's done it again! Trevor Zegras, what an answer! The kid is unreal!
I kind of got the puck on the wall, kind of by their tops of the circle. It was good ice and had a fresh tape job, so I figured I'd give it a try. Lucky enough, I got it pretty quick, and I don't know, I got a little lucky, I guess.
Welcome to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Julie Tesheri, Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, with you as always on this Friday. That was Trevor Zegras after his Michigan goal last night. He completed the set, AB. He got the Michigan assist earlier in the season on that Sonny Milano goal, and then he got the goal itself last night. And it's hilarious because if any other player in the league scored a Michigan goal, my first reaction would be, I don't know, probably an expletive. Like, it's just a crazy goal to score. But it was Zegras. So I was like, what took you so long, Trevor?
I know, right? It's like, yeah, of course he scored. It was only a matter of time before this guy scored a Michigan goal. But he did it so seamlessly. Like, literally going around the net, picked it up, whoop, scoops it right into the back of the net. And it's just like, this guy's unbelievable. The skill, the mitts that this player has. You know, thank goodness for that new tape job, eh? You know, I had a new tape job, so I thought, yeah, let's give it a go. Nice, smooth tape. Should be able to corral the puck good enough. And, that was, there was so much skill on display last night. Did you see McDavid with a couple of beauties, too, especially in the shootout, that shootout winner? I thought that was hilarious. Like, absolutely hilarious. Did you hear what Darnell Nurse had to say after, though?
It was, like, a decent goal. Darnell Nurse was so funny.
Do you have it, though? Because it's funny to hear kind of the Q&A of Darnell Nurse on that. Chris, why don't you play that clip for us last night post-game when Darnell Nurse was asked if that was if he was impressed by that shootout winner.
Oh, it was okay move. Went in, so I've seen nicer in practice.
And you know what? That's probably true. Like, McDavid at practice. Was it Tyson Barrie one day when Connor McDavid missed the net at practice, the mics picked up Tyson Barrie saying, oh my gosh, he's human, or something like that.
That's funny. But yeah, it was an impressive goal, definitely. There was some bigger news with the Oilers, and obviously we're Leafs.
Oh yeah, we really buried the lead there, right?
Yeah, we're gonna get to some Leafs talk here. They got a game tomorrow night. They're taking on the Detroit Red Wings, and then a home and home against Jersey on Monday and Tuesday before the All-Star break. We'll have Joe Bowen to kind of break some things down and chat Leafs with us later today at 12:30. We got CJ coming up as well for his usual Friday hit, and I guarantee you a lot of what we'll be talking about with CJ has to do with Evander Kane, who, biggest news in the NHL right now. He was cleared by the NHL of any wrongdoing in his, falsified by, they said that he did not knowingly break any rules, I suppose. We'll ask CJ what exactly went down. It is somewhat of a confusing, convoluted argument here, but he's been cleared and he was able to sign with anyone, and yesterday signing a one-year deal with the Edmonton Oilers. So, you know, Edmonton, they're rolling right now. They've won three straight. You just heard, you know, Darnell Nurse talking and making jokes, and you heard McDavid chuckle and laugh a little bit. So they're in good spirits, which I think is a lot. It's important, actually, because when you're bringing in a guy like Evander Kane, I think that it's probably going to take a bit of a stronger room to make sure that this thing kind of goes properly and things don't go off the rails. But on the ice, like the on-ice aspect of this signing, I think this is big for Edmonton. I mean, not that we want to say win at all costs, obviously, but this makes them a much deeper team, no doubt. This adds a punch of secondary scoring, which they've lacked. Like, let's be honest, if it's not McDavid or Draisaitl putting the puck in the back of the net, it's been virtually nobody. And that's what Evander Kane does best. So on the ice, I think this does work. It's off ice is where the questions are always going to arise with this signing.
Right. Chris, can you maybe get ready that clip of McDavid talking about Kane from yesterday? So when McDavid was first asked about Kane, people didn't like his answer. And that wasn't as a result of people not liking the fact that Evander Kane can score goals, because that's not really a question in the scenario. The question is he a good guy? Is he going to derail your locker room when you need a sound group, a cohesive group that's able to work together? And that's a place where Evander Kane has had problems off the ice. It's been well documented. And I thought McDavid's answer yesterday was a lot better than the answer he gave previously. Chris, if you want to roll that right now.
I think it's important that we acknowledge that, you know, there have been some issues, and, you know, but he's coming in, and we trust Kenny. We trust the leadership in the group. You know, we have lots of older guys that don't wear letters that, you know, are a huge piece of that room. So, you know, we think we can come in and you know, he can help us on the ice. And
that's what people wanted to hear, right? They didn't want to hear win at all costs. They didn't want to hear it is what it is. And
yeah,
that's a good answer from Connor McDavid. And I think he redeems himself from his previous answer, but
based on that answer compared to the first one, where it was more of like a, you know, like he's going to help us win, and it was a win at all cost type of mentality the first time around, and you could tell someone got in his ear and was like, hey, maybe next time, maybe go in this direction when asked about
it.
But I think it speaks to just how dire things actually were in that locker room at the time when that question first arose. Like, they were in the midst of the 7-game skid. They were getting bombarded. It was around the same time that the Jim Matheson, Leon Draisaitl situation really blew up. And it was not good in Edmonton. It was a bad mood around the room. And he's being asked about this guy after a loss. It's like, look, you know, if he can come and help us not feel this way, this is what we want. And now, after winning a few games, it seems like the room is a little bit more loose. They're more clear-headed, clear-minded. You know, he could take a step back and give a proper answer, or a more, I guess, a better answer that we were looking for, I suppose. So I think it just kind of speaks to how differently things are in Edmonton now than they were a week ago. And, you know, we'll see what it ends up happening.
I guess.
I'm curious to see when we'll see Evander Kane in the lineup, though. They do have a couple of games this week. We'll see if we end up seeing him.
Yeah, but if it's not the secondary scoring, it's the goaltending. And if it's not the goaltending, it's the blue line. So we'll see how this all shakes down. Let's bring in Chris Johnson, our TSN hockey insider. Chris, we're going to talk about Evander Kane in a second, but I caught you talking on Overdrive about how you're still running outside during the winter, and I see your very gorgeous and aesthetic Instagram stories of it. What's your no-go temp, Chris? Like, today, are you throwing on the hat and going for a run? Like, is minus 10 kind of the cutoff?
Oh, no, I'm going today. I'm actually going after
we
do this hit. I mean, to be honest, I don't have a no-go temp because I go every day. So basically, this has been more like a real Canadian winter than I can remember. But I actually sort of like it as long as there's some sun like we have today.
Yeah, the sun makes a big difference. The sun makes a big difference. I don't run at all, so just running is my no-go cutoff, but that's great. That's awesome, Chris.
More trouble in the summer, if I'm being honest. Like, when it gets to 30 degrees on the plus side, that's harder for me than this.
Yeah, it can be a bit more difficult at that point. But the cold in the lungs is what always, like, even just outside walking, like if I'm going for a walk or taking the dogs for a walk, it's the cold in the lungs. I'm just like, I could not even imagine having to run for, you know, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo. I know that. I'm confirmed a weirdo.
There was a rink in Thunder Bay where my toes used to get cold on the ice, like while I was in the midst of a hockey game. I'll never forget that. CJ, we brought you in talking about Evander Kane. He signed a 1-year deal to join the Oilers, as was kind of expected after the investigation concluded. Would you say, and this might be an obvious answer, but would you say this is his final chance to prove he belongs in the NHL and to kind of end the narrative about any off-ice antics?
You know, it's tough to say just because, you know, if you look at the on-ice, and I realize it's hard to separate the two. I mean, he had a great season last year to Evander Kane. And so, you know, I do think that there's obviously some tough questions being asked of Evander. I saw the interview Kayla Gray did with him and thought she did a great job in sort of not letting him off the hook, asking some pretty pointed questions. But, you know, I do think as long as he can perform to a reasonable degree, there's going to be teams out there that want to sign him. It's just the way it goes in the NHL. And so, you know, I don't know that he's down to his last legs here because, you know, the last we saw him play in the NHL, you know, he was a little less than a point per game scorer. You know, in Edmonton, I think that the reason this made so much sense for him, of course, is he's going to get bopped into a pretty good role on a team that has ambition. And so this is, I think, it's a great chance for him to, you know, kind of reestablish himself, because who knows what you're going to see. I mean, it's been a pretty turbulent year and a half going back to when he filed for bankruptcy. There's been multiple league investigations and allegations against Evander. And so, you know, his career has gone in the bad direction here. And you know, I think that he's got to do what he can do, I guess, change that narrative. But I don't know if a few months, even if it goes really well in Edmonton, is going to completely remove the questions.
Connor McDavid last night said that he trusted Ken Holland on this and gave a better answer than he did the first time around when he was asked about Evander Kane. But do you know if at all how involved McDavid may have been in trying to recruit Kane to Edmonton?
Well, I think certainly he was interested in it. I mean, look, we all expect Evander Kane to be on Connor McDavid's wing tomorrow night when they play Montreal. And so, you know, I don't know that McDavid was leading the charge, but certainly when you're as important as he is to the team, you know, I don't think that they would be making this kind of signing if he wasn't on board. And you know, in this case, we're talking about someone who's likely to at least start it as line mate. I mean, lines get shifted around all the time, might not end that way or stay that way too long. But, you know, the Oilers feel that they needed another top six forward. You know, this one comes with a bit of a PR hit for them, but otherwise there's no acquisition cost other than, you know, the million or so dollars that Evander's going to earn on his contract. You know, $2 million he's going to count against their salary cap for the rest of the year. And so, you know, this kind of fell into their laps in some ways, I think, and allows them to maybe move Jesse Puljujärvi down to the third line, give Connor McDavid a different look, and keep Draisaitl and McDavid apart, which is what I think they're going to do for the most part. And so, you know, he might not have been leading the charge, you know, making phone calls and bringing everyone together, but I certainly think he's been part of the plan, and you know, I bet he's pretty excited to you know, get a new player on his wing.
Yeah, seriously. RTSN reporter Ryan Rashog reported out of Edmonton yesterday that there was a chance he could be ready by the weekend. Do you have any intel on that as to when we might see him in an Oilers jersey on the ice?
Yeah, the plan is to have him play tomorrow. So, you know, Evander's been a fairly long break, I guess, for him since he last played in the American Hockey League, but he's been able to skate in Vancouver the last 10 days, 2 weeks, you know, since his contract was terminated in San Jose. You know, get on the ice today at the Oilers and a morning skate tomorrow, and off he goes.
CJ, do you have any more information on how the investigation, like what was being investigated, and then what was the final conclusion? It seemed to be just a little bit convoluted in what exactly went down here between Kane.
Sure. I mean, the simplest way to understand it is the Sharks cited a breach of a standard player contract when they terminated the contract. And that's essentially, if we want to look at it, is basically they're saying that the totality of his behavior while with the Sharks warranted their ability to do that. And so, you know, that could include incidents that we know about, you know, some of which have been reported on, and obviously could also involve things that never have seen the public eye. And so when it comes time to have a grievance, you know, the San Jose will present all that information to an arbitrator. Evander Kane will, you know, tell his side of the story, and an arbitrator has to decide, you know, whether or not, you know, his contract needs to be honored by the team. You know, what the NHL actually through a third party was investigating specifically was, you know, just the incident that happened after Christmas time when Evander, you know, traveled to Vancouver from San Jose on December 28th. It was less than 10 days from when he had a positive COVID diagnosis. And so he was meant to be isolating in that period in time. And so, you know, they were just looking at whether he crossed the border when he shouldn't have, and you know, didn't find conclusive evidence that I guess he did anything intentionally wrong. And so that's why he's not facing any more discipline, you know, on that specific matter. But, you know, when it comes time to hear that grievance, it's going to really be about a series of incidents or events that happened during his time in San Jose. And, you know, there's also the chance that he and the Sharks settle before that even gets to a grievance. Maybe, you know, what we saw this in the Mike Richards case years ago with L.A., maybe San Jose agrees to pay him some portion of what was remaining on that contract and has to take on a cap hit. And you know, rather than risk, you know, there's risk for either party when you go to an arbitrator, because it could be an all or nothing gambit each way. And so, you know, this was a bit of a blow probably to the Sharks case, but it certainly doesn't mean that they would lose any kind of grievance to Evander.
We have our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnson, on the phone right now on Leafs Lunch. Chris, you reported on Insider Trading earlier this week that Toronto would prefer to bring in players with term. And honestly, I like took this way out of context because I was looking through like defensemen that are available, and I'm like, oh my God, Chris, nobody has term. What are we going to do? We know there'll be buyers at the deadline. We've been talking a lot about who they might be looking to acquire at the trade deadline. But what do the Leafs have in terms of assets to give up?
Well, I mean, they got a first and a second round pick in this year's draft, plus a seventh rounder. They have, you know, draft picks next year they could trade. They have some prospects. You know, it's probably not a Nick Robertson in this case, given that he's, you know, recovering from another fairly significant injury, but, you know, maybe they look at one of their own players now. You know, whether it's not saying they would trade Rasmus Sandin, but, you know, someone like that could make sense depending on what's coming back. I mean, I think that, you know, really, there's almost nothing that's off the table if you're the Maple Leafs. I mean, any of your prospects, any of your draft picks, you have to consider. And I think even young players, if you feel like you're getting someone, you know, especially if they do have term, that can give you multiple, that can make you better immediately and give you multiple chances at chasing a Stanley Cup with that person in the lineup. And so, you know, I think preferably rather than do what they did last year, which is they made five trades. You know, in the lead up to the deadline, they gave up six draft picks as part of those trades. All the players that were brought in were on expiring deals and ended up leaving after the season. None of them really had any tangible impact in the lineup, particularly Nick Foligno, who was injured, of course, and you know, just didn't have enough time to get up and running and become a contributing member of the team. You know, I think that the Leafs look at that and would rather, if they could, you know, get players with term, it just gives you gives that player more time to settle in and make an impact and maybe a little less risk in terms of what you give up to get the person. But, you know, it doesn't mean they'll rule out rentals entirely. And, you know, there's a lot of rental defensemen in particular that I would expect that we'll see moved or be on the trade market before March 21st. So, you know, it's a window into how they look at this issue, but I don't think that they've decided on any one course that it has to be this, that we're giving up our first round pick for a defenseman and it's going to solve this issue. I think the Leafs are a pretty open-minded front office with that do things a lot of different ways. You know, we saw 2 years or 3 years ago, they got Jake Muzzin a month before the deadline and he had an extra year in his contract. The next season, they got Jack Campbell, who had, you know, another year on his contract and Kyle Clifford, who was expiring. Last year was all rental players. You know, I don't think it'll be all one or the other, but certainly I expect them to be active. And I think pretty much anything that is that we might term a future asset is in play if the right current day asset is coming back.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, CJ. You wrote in your latest piece in the Toronto Star that they'll have roughly about $1 million come the deadline. That's not a whole lot of cap to work with. So do you think that they may have to kind of part ways with some current roster players who may have some term and some money on their deals? And if so, who do you think would garner the most interest and who would the Maple Leafs kind of be interested in giving up to try and make a deal work?
Well, the most obvious candidate, I would say, is Nick Ritchie, just because, you know, hasn't worked for him here. He makes $2.5 million against the cap, and is signed for next season as well. And so, of course, you know, I think at this stage, given how the year's gone, there'd be some kind of sweetener that would have to be included. But, you know, if you were able to move that cap hit, it does open up some room to do other things. You know, we've talked throughout the season at points that Justin Hall and Travis Dermott have both been made available to some degree. You know, I could see, especially if they're bringing in a defenseman. It's not that the Leafs don't have enough defensemen. I think that maybe there's an argument to be made that they could use another defenseman to play on the second pairing with Jake Muzzin once he's back healthy. You know, that might be the best sort of roster construction they can approach. And so, you know, perhaps if that kind of deal is made, you see them trading out one of the current top picks guys. You know, there's not a ton of options, but this is an incredibly well-versed front office in navigating a tight cap situation. You know, last year with the Nick Foligno trade, for example, you know, he was first traded to San Jose. The Leafs had to add an extra pick in for that. And so his salary was twice retained in that deal and that allowed Toronto to fit him in. I mean, they could do things like that.
Right.
And so it's a challenge, but it's not something that's insurmountable. You know, I still think that they'll find a way to be a team that's adding a player or two at the deadline. I don't think it'll be as many guys as you saw last year coming in to the fold. But, you know, this is a pretty smart front office. I mean, any fan or media member might you know, you might take a certain move they've made and quibble with it. But I think if you look at the totality, they've done a pretty nice job even this year that, you know, they let Zach Tyman, the top line winger, and Frederik Andersen, who was a number one goaltender here for a lot of years, walk away. And with a small amount of cap space, they've done a pretty good job of replacing those guys, you know, this season. And so, you know, I do think that they'll still be able to find a way to make deals at the deadline, even though right now they don't have a ton of space.
Totally. Kyle Dubas, the cap wizard. We'll start doing our little Friday tour around the league here, CJ. The Jets have dropped six in a row. It doesn't look like the coaching change has made a huge difference in turning that ship around. Do you think the answers are in the room for the Winnipeg Jets, or are they a team that will maybe try and get a deal done here, especially with Ehlers out long term?
You know, I think they'll try to get a deal done. You know, it's going to be an interesting bit of soul searching, I think, big picture for the Jets to decide they want to keep going down this road with this core over time. I'm talking even beyond just the upcoming trade deadline.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't a coaching change either. I mean, there's a change of coach, but you know, it was Paul Maurice's decision to step aside. It wasn't an issue of him being forced out or being fired. So, you know, I saw some people talking about sort of the bounce you get sometimes from changing a coach with different circumstances here. You know, he didn't leave with the team in a long losing streak or anything like that. You know, it's a totally different set of circumstances than what we saw in Vancouver, for example, and Bruce Boudreau was able to change the mood, you know, when he replaced Travis Green, just because the Canucks, you know, had been in such a funk. So, you know, I don't really know that they know where they're going next. They certainly have a number of talented players and guys under contract. You know, I don't think it's certainly, I'm not saying they're going to a rebuild, but this has been a disappointing campaign. And you know, I would think that Kevin Cheveldayoff will try to be active leading up to the deadline, only because this is a season that they expect to make the playoffs. They're not totally out of it. They've fallen into a precipitous place right now, but the West is a little less settled when it comes to those playoff spots compared to what we see here in the two Eastern based conferences. And so, you know, I still think there's a chance the Jets get back in it, but it's getting late early on them with the way this last little stretch of games has gone.
Well, I think a guy who might be able to help them is a guy who sunk them last night. JT Miller got a hat trick against the Jets, and there's been some rumblings lately that JT Miller could be had. Jim Rutherford now, you know, the president, they just went out and they hired a new general manager as well. What's kind of the latest there, and are the Canucks seriously listening on offers for JT Miller?
They'll definitely listen. You know, it doesn't mean that he'll be traded at this point in time. You know, he's still under contract beyond the season, so you know, he could be someone that they're trading next year at the trade deadline if they don't decide to do it right now. But, you know, I think that, you know, Jim Rutherford had sort of an ominous quote when he met the media after Patrick Aldean was hired as a GM this week. And he just said, basically, we're capped out. We're not in the playoffs. Like, you can't be a cap team and not be in the playoffs. Then we have some big, big decisions here. And so, you know, I think JT Miller is probably their biggest sort of pressing decision about how to handle him. You know, I think that they're definitely going to listen, engage the market on him. You know, a team like the New York Rangers, you know, where JT Miller spent time earlier in his career, make a lot of sense for Miller. You know, the Rangers are looking to add someone to their sort of second line, sort of middle of the lineup forward. And, you know, he would certainly bolster their depth in a season where they've, you know, been one of the, I'd say, surprises, you know, just in terms of how high up they are in the standings this season. And so, you know, we'll see how it plays out for Vancouver. You know, they just made all these hirings in their front office. I don't think that they're committed to any one path yet because, you know, really the work is just starting and evaluating the team there. But, you know, definitely JT Miller, someone's name's going to be out there, and Jim Rutherford will take your call and listen. We'll just see, you know, how, you know, what kind of offers come forward, if he's able to bring them back multiple, you know, draft picks and future assets. I think if that's the case, then you'll see him moved by this deadline.
No, I tell you, it'd be a luxury ad, but imagine JT Miller in the Leafs top six. Would that ever be a welcome
You're
addition?
Crazy.
I don't know if they can make it happen. I don't know if they can make it happen. I know there's pressing needs elsewhere on the roster, but man, that guy's just a hockey player. Like, you talk about a dude who scores goals, is a great playmaker, but likes to also get his nose dirty. That's exactly what the Maple Leafs would love to have come playoff time. Again, not sure that we can, you know, Kyle Dubas can make that type of thing work. Not sure the assets are there or the cap space, but boy, would that look nice.
Look, I mean, you dream big. I mean, why not?
Dream big.
You know, I think that it's worked out pretty well, the depth for the Leafs, but, you know, if they could add a winger that would make sense and you could make the money work, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. I really do believe, I mean, they're all in on this season. Like, there's no tomorrow, right? And so you're not going to rule them out of anything, because I think that they have to explore to see what's possible, see how the fit might be, if the player's interested. I mean, it helps. I mean, this is one thing that, you know, we didn't get into, but there's some concern league-wide. This isn't just a Leafs-specific issue, that there's players that don't want to come up and play in Canada.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, you know, one thing is JT Miller's been living and playing in Canada, and so he might not be as averse to it, even though he is an American, because he's been in Vancouver, and so it's less of an adjustment for him and his family. But, you know, it might not just be a matter of who the Leafs have on a wish list and even, you know, making a deal with the team. I think some of it's going to come down to if the players themselves are willing to come and be part of things, you know, for the Leafs.
Right, right. Chris, I feel like this is a big story, but no one's really talking about it because it's the Arizona Coyotes, and everyone's just like, yeah, I guess it's the Coyotes. They're probably going to do that. They can announce that they were playing, like, at the rink in, I don't know, I'm thinking of, like, a random outdoor rink. But they can announce that they're playing at a random outdoor ODR rink, and everyone would just be like, okay, it's the Coyotes. They're doing it. We heard you reporting about their pending agreement to play at Arizona State University, which I'm sure would be a lot of fun. But what more can you tell us about that whole situation?
Well, thanks for correcting me. Unfortunately, I said University of Arizona in the hit. I meant Arizona State University.
Way more fun. Way more fun.
So I hear.
On my part, not to just mix the two up in my brain. But, yeah, I mean, what's interesting here is it's a 5,000-seat arena, right? And, you know, when it plays to a capacity, I think a little bit over 15,000. You know, Nassau Coliseum, which just closed last year, you know, was, I think, 11 or 12 maybe, but it was a smaller rink. I mean, there's some precedent, but there's not a lot of precedent for a 5,000-seat NHL arena. And we're talking about three or four seasons. But, you know, as far as I can tell, the Coyotes truly are entirely focused on Arizona-based solutions. You know, they see an opportunity in that small of a venue. You know, it's about a mile from where they want to build their new arena complex in Tempe. And so it gets them to the part of the city they want to be in. You know, it's a big spread out area, you know, for anyone who hasn't been around the Phoenix area. I mean, it's a big spread out metropolitan area, and where they play in Glendale is a long way from Phoenix. It's created problems for them right from the day they opened that rink in 2003. And so they see a chance to get to where they want to be on a university campus. Yeah, it's only 5,000 seats, but they obviously increase their odds of selling out in that kind of building and maybe creating a unique, intimate atmosphere. And, you know, someone even said to me, look, they draw so few fans in Glendale. If they price the tickets right, there's not a guarantee they're actually leaving that much money revenue-wise on the table. And so,
just ask Brad Marchand.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it Brad Marchand said, oh, even if they gave away 4,500 tickets, then they'll be able to sell it out?
Yeah, you don't want to get in Brad Marchand's crosshairs.
No, you know.
Oh, that guy.
He's taking no prisoners on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how it goes. What's interesting is that it's actually in Arizona State University's control right now. I mean, the Coyotes want this to happen. They've I think, come to the terms of what a deal would look like. And now there's a public process that plays out at the university where they have to actually vote to say if this will happen. And if it goes through, you know, I think we'll see them move there next season. And it will be literally an atmosphere unlike any you could see in the NHL, because it will be entirely unique. But it does buy the team some time to build, you know, the new arena complex that they're hoping to get done and stay in Arizona, which as much as we've been speculating, you know, especially Canadian media for 10 plus years about them playing somewhere else, could they move to Quebec or Houston or what have you? You know, there still seems to be a high desire to find a solution in the desert for this franchise.
And I bet that'd be a hot ticket for like the actual, like, students. They may actually be able to sell a
bunch of tickets. That hockey team is sick. Like, they are the coolest hockey team.
Yeah, so it may work out. May work out, but it's a story that we'll definitely be tracking. Appreciate you joining us as always, CJ. Have a good weekend, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, it was great. Have a good one, guys.
All right, there he goes. Chris Johnson, TSN insider, as well as a columnist for the Toronto Star. All right, we got to fly, because we got the great one. Joe Bowen joining us next, the voice of the Maple Leafs. And Julia, you have some play-by-play duties that you'll be doing tonight in the CHL. You're calling the Mississauga Steelheads game. So we got to ask Joe Bowen some questions. You're going to have an opportunity to talk to one of the best about what it's like, get some tips and tricks, and we'll do all that when we return. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. She's Julia Teixeira. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Julia Teixeira, Al's brother Mike DiStefano with you as always. Let's get the lunch table going. The Leafs Lunch Table is brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards available at Circle K, the perfect gift for any occasion. Couple updates from practice. Jake Muzzin is still in a red sweater and probably can't expect to see him play tomorrow night. Carl Dahlstrom has been assigned to the taxi squad. And some good news, Liljegren back at practice, AB. So you love to hear that. And what do you guys love to hear even more? Everybody's favorite, the man, the myth, the legend. Let's bring in voice of the Maple Leafs on TSN 1050, Joe Bowen. Joe, how's it going?
Good, Julia. How are you today? And Michael?
I'm good. It's Friday. Things are great. Is it sunny in Niagara? I always say it's sunny in Toronto, Joe, and then Al's brother chimes in and says, well, it's raining in Niagara, and then I always have to feel bad.
We got a bit of overcast, but it's okay. As long as it's not snowing. Really
it is gorgeous in Markham. Absolutely gorgeous until you open the door.
And then
you get a real good flash hit. But it's still, hey, this is Canada. This is what everything is all about. This is our invigorating climate that makes this country so good.
Well, Bones, we just had Chris Johnston on the line, and he said after his hit, he's going out for a bit of a jog. It feels like minus 21 outside. I don't know about you, but that certainly is not in my wheelhouse. I would never be going out for a jog there.
I don't jog, but I'm going to get my 5-mile walk in here. I know that. I'm going to get out there and get bundled up and get going. Yeah.
Good for you.
John Tavares looked to be the biggest beneficiary of these new lines. I thought that he was spectacular the other night against Anaheim, played a really strong game, was reunited with Mitch Marner, thought that he looked good, had a bit of a quiet stretch before that. Do you believe that he may end up being the biggest beneficiary of this line shakeup that Sheldon Keefe has done here?
Well, I think that if there are a big four, and two of them are on one line, and then single ones are on the other, I think simple math suggests that might be accurate. I mean, Mitch Marner is so creative. He creates space. His vision is ridiculous. And John Tavares is not stupid. He knows if I go somewhere where I've got some open ice or the front of the net, this guy is going to find me at times, and I'm going to get some good quality scoring chances. And it was kind of interesting that even though all of the shuffling went on, they didn't score 5-on-5 because of it. They scored the good old-fashioned way when they jammed all of those guys together on the power play, and for the first time this year scored 3 power play goals. So it will take some time, I guess. It will be interesting to see how the patience of the coach is tested with this. But, I mean, he's got, and Sheldon Keefe has certainly shown this over the years, is that if he's not happy, then things change. And they change from shift to shift, period to period, game to game. So it'll be interesting to see how long this experiment is given. And if it succeeds, great. If it stumbles a little bit, I would imagine we'll see some change again.
Yeah, it's been hard to even really get into a rhythm of things with the way the schedule's been happening lately. And I think a victim of that is Jack Campbell. And as a former goaltender yourself, Bonesy, do you think...
Union Bell Hensley getting back into action. Sorry, I still have the tools of ignorance.
Oh, sorry. A current goaltender yourself, is it more difficult for you when you take some time off and then have to get back into the net? And do you think Jack Campbell, the little bit of a dip in his play recently, could be as a result of this kind of weird schedule, difficult to get into a rhythm?
Well, I don't know about Jack Campbell, but when I take some time off, my guys are overjoyed. But anyway, as for Campbell, you know what? Goaltenders and players are creatures of habit. And when the routine changes, that we're not playing every other night, that you get into things, sometimes you end up having to sit and think. And as many, many coaches, including Harry Neal, used to say, don't think you're going to hurt the team. And I think that's part and parcel of it. They want to get back, get in. If they've had a bad night, then let's get right back on the horse and get this thing going instead of having time to think about it and contemplate and everything else. So I would agree with you, I think, Julia, that He's looking more to get back into a regular routine. I think now that Mrazek has shown that he's ready to go, they can certainly work that kind of a routine that they were planning on at the start of the season and get both of these guys playing well and be ready down the stretch.
In conversation with Joe Bowen, the voice of the Maple Leafs here on TSN 1050. You can hear him right here tomorrow night as he and Ralphie will have the calls. They take on the Detroit Red Wings. And it looks like Jake Muzzin may not be able to play. He was in a red contact jersey again. So it looks like Rasmus Sandin, most likely to get another opportunity with Hall up on the top four. Played a career-high 23 minutes against the Ducks last night. How did you like his bounce-back performance over the weekend compared to the couple of games prior in a top four role?
You know, Mike, one of the things we have to understand is as the youth of and the age of these guys and how much experience they have. And you can throw Timothy Liljegren in there as well. And it's good to hear that he's back practicing and might be able to play again as well on Saturday. Young players, especially defensemen, are prone to having those games where you go, oh, God, now what? And then the next night, you know, they have it back under control and doing things. I mean, I thought as a team, that might have been the most complete game of 60 minutes that we've had this season the other night. And they didn't score when they were 5-on-5. So I think you have to look at it that way. The goals against were kind of fluky. And so you couldn't hang it on them by any stretch or even on Campbell as well. So I think that, you have to give them time. You have to understand that they're going to be hiccups. But I think that they're both talented. They can move the puck if they play their position and play off one another and think out there. And they're going to be, quality defensemen. And that just takes time.
Speaking of bounce backs, Joe, sorry, AB, what were you going to say? You're on the edge of your seat.
No, go ahead. Who's bouncing back, Julia?
Oh, Peter Mrazek. He had a great game on Saturday night against the Islanders, and obviously is going to look to prove himself in this second half, Joe. Is a little bit of internal competition between these two a good thing? It was kind of the plan at the beginning of the season.
No, I agree. I think it is a good thing. I mean, you can't have too many good players, and it doesn't matter which position they happen to be playing. And I think at the beginning of the season, this was the blueprint that they were hoping to accommodate. Jack Campbell played so well out of the chute, and Mrazek was hurt that it changed things. But I think that you're going to see him have a lot more opportunities, especially when we get through this little lull and into February and March and April, when the schedule really is going to get compacted, that you're going to have two goaltenders playing very, very well.
In conversation with Joe Bowen, the voice of the Maple Leafs. Joe, one of the reasons we brought you on today is because our girl, Julia Tesheri, will be doing some play-by-play later tonight for the Mississauga Steelheads. How long have you been in the game? When did you first start doing play-by-play? How long have you been in the business?
Well, I started when I was at University of Windsor working for the student radio station. Mm. So that's 1970, 71, 72. I came home to Sudbury and did the Sudbury Wolves and rode the bus, went to the American Hockey League in Nova Scotia. And 40 years ago or so, I've been here in Toronto. So, Julia, I'm going to give you some tips first.
Perfect.
I'm going to give you some tips here on play-by-play. First, are you doing radio or TV?
I'm doing radio exclusively.
Perfect. That's the best way to break in, and I'm going to tell you why. No one knows whether you're right or wrong.
That's and so true.
And trust me, that's an important thing. And don't ever admit that you were wrong, that maybe you had the wrong person with the puck. I remember doing a game in Peterborough where Peterborough Pete player blocked a shot at the blue line and had a clear-cut breakaway from the blue line, the other blue line going in on the Sudbury goal. When he got to our blue line, I realized I had the wrong guy. So I passed the puck to the right guy. And then And then I hoped like hell he didn't score, so I wouldn't have to explain how they possibly could have missed that assist.
Right. Okay, so I'm just going to stick with whatever I say.
Yep. Yeah. Don't ever apologize. Oh, no, that was no. No, of course it wasn't. No one knows for, you know. And if it was a goal and you got the wrong guy, well, then he must have just tipped it. Just so slightly. Whatever. I mean, so many other things. Go. So, but here's the other other tip. Get a little egg timer and put it on your desk. And every time the sand runs out, tell the score.
Because that's a good one.
Yes, because people on radio, they're driving. They're not catching the whole game. They're only going to catch a portion of it. But they're going to sit there on the radio and scream at you, what the hell's the damn score in the game?
Right.
You know, even when the sand runs out, just no matter where the puck is, just give the score. And that helps a great deal as well. And if there are some really tricky names, those guys never handle the puck for any length of time.
Oh, I didn't see it. I looked at the roster. I'm like, well, it's a shame that guy is never going to see the puck once tonight.
No, he's not playing. his parents will never know. He hardly plays at all.
Well, what's that? Michael Delbel Blues? Is that the name?
Luca Delbel Blues. But I know the Steelheads. The Steelheads I'm very comfortable with.
No, that's good. Yeah. So and the other thing is have fun. I don't know if you are working with someone, but play off of them a little bit. It's not World War III. It's not Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, so enjoy it, have fun with it, and enjoy what is a wonderful sport.
It's so true. You know, Joe, the one thing my mom always says whenever I do play, but I haven't done it in a couple of years, which is why the nerves are creeping in, but since pre-pandemic, I used to do it kind of regularly, but my mom always used to say, Joe Bowen has a catchphrase. You need a catchphrase if you're going to do play-by-play. Where did Holy Mackinac come from? Like, it is your catchphrase. I know that it was your dad, right?
Yeah. My dad, when I would be sitting on his lap watching Hockey Night in Canada and our hero Johnny Bauer would make a save, my dad would blurt out, Holy Mackinac, what a save by Johnny. And I never used it in junior or the American Hockey League or a number of years to start my NHL career until actually Felix Potvin made a save in the Chicago Stadium and I blurted it out and Bill Waters, who was doing color with me, fell down on the floor laughing, and I thought, well, if I got that rise out of him, maybe I could use it again.
It's just got to come naturally then.
Yep. If you know, somebody has often said to me, okay, well, what happens when the Leafs win the Stanley Cup? What are you going to say? Well, I'm not going to rehearse it. It's going to have to be just there, and you know, hopefully something will come into my mind that will be somewhat iconic, but if not, it's just going to be, you know, what the situation is, because if you rehearse it and try to force it, it sounds just that way. And you don't want that.
Bonesy, it's true.
I hope that you do get to make a Stanley Cup winning call. There's nothing more that I'd love to hear than Bowen's game-winning call in the Stanley Cup playoffs to bring the cup to Toronto. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, have a good call tomorrow. Enjoy the game and have a good weekend.
Thank you very much, guys. And Julia, break a leg.
Thank you so much, Joe.
There he goes. Joe Bowen, the man, the myth, the legend, voice of Maple Leafs on TSN 1050. And again, you can listen to him call the game tomorrow night on TSN 1050, Leafs taking on Detroit. And the Leafs lunch table is fueled by Vanilla prepaid cards and Circle K for your chance to win a $100 Vanilla Visa prepaid card. Text the keyword lunch and your name to 105050. The keyword lunch and your name to 105050. Standard text message rates apply. JT, so you guys made me pull in some moments. I did play-by-play back in the day when I was at university as well, and y'all made me pull in some audio of some of my calls. We're going to play those on the other side, so you're going to want to stay tuned for those. So we'll play those in our Friday 5 and 5 and discuss some other stuff that's been going on around the league. So we'll get to that and more when we return. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Julia Teixeira. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. Take my breath!
It's so easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace, LeaseBusters. Avoid penalties and early termination. Go to LeaseBusters.com. AB, it's Friday. We had so many things planned, but instead, let's just make fun of your play-by-play calls. Is that chill and fun and cool?
I guess.
But the thing is, you're probably actually good, so you had to pull some funny ones, right? I haven't heard these before.
So here's the thing. I pulled a few clips, so we could play a couple. There was one game where I had to call a game between the Western Mustangs and the UQTR Patriots.
The Patriots?
Exactly, that team. And it was like an OUA final game, and okay. It was like winner moved on to nationals and whatnot. And
it's a big deal.
Well, I'm not used to calling teams from Quebec because I called OUA East, which is like, you know, Laurier, Brock, Western, not a lot of French
teams. A lot of Chads names, and French a lot of Brads. Not
yeah,
a lot of Pierres.
Exactly. So I was in a kind of situation where I didn't know what to do with some of these French names. Why don't we just play it? It's me basically calling play by play and just butchering these French names because a lot of people, they just end up kind of like, I guess, Americanizing the names so that it just makes it easier, cleaner, and smoother. And you're about to see why that happens in the NHL and that I should have done that back when I was calling college hockey. So why don't you play that, Chris?
Buck up to Asselin. Asselin tries to center it out in front. Oh, just tipped wide by Giroux. Puck goes around for Leclerc. Giroux tries to center it out in front. Goes off of, I believe, Marantz. Back to Giroux. Up at the point, takes a shot. Blocked in front by Sansa. Lefebvre, he takes a shot. Another block in front by Lazor. Mustangs did a good job getting in the shooting lanes.
I love
it, though. Okay, Amy, you're actually good. It's just the French accents that are hilarious. Lefebvre?
Right? I was like, Lefebvre. Lefebvre. There was a one. It was like Lapine or Lapine. I think I went back and forth between the name. That's another tip, too, I would say. You've done it before. It's not like it's your first time doing it, but
I know,
pick
but it
a name
feels like it. I haven't done
it
since
it.
Pre-pandemic. Like, the last time I did play-by-play was a back-to-back. It was Mississauga, and it was, like, the 8th and the 9th of March 2020. Like, literally right before the pandemic. So,
most of my play-by-play was done when I was doing at the University of Western. I did it all 4 years, freshman through my senior year. I did both men's and women's. I was the voice of Mustangs hockey. And then it was the Canada Winter Games I actually got to. I do have a call here if you want to play it.
Okay.
And it's the game winner. You talk about a butchered call. And I'll tell you why it's a somewhat of a butchering, and I cringe sometimes when I listen to it. It was the game winner. It was Alberta taking on BC. Winner went on to the final. So it's the semifinal matchup. And this was the game winner in overtime.
So Dakny going off to the bench now. Here comes Bentnel. Bentnel in with the goaltender. Bentnel scores! Bentnel came in all alone, coming off the bench, able to roof that one. Top shelf in Alberta. The home nation here in Red Deer jumping out to a 1-0 lead. What a well-placed shot.
So that
I didn't
was,
think that was that.
That wasn't the game winner. That was the 1-0 goal. But I called Alberta the home, like a home nation. I'm just like,
oh,
man,
okay.
Not a nation.
Okay, right. Well, you called yourself me about a minute and a half ago.
That is true. That is very, very true. I was hoping that didn't get brought up. I got a text from, my mother texted me saying, oh, Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Julia Tesheri, huh? I'm like, oh, no, did I really say that? And then I got a text from, I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Julia Tesheri. Oh, there it is. There it is. See, I just want to embody you so much, Julia. I envy you and I want to be you. That's all that is.
AKA Julia Tesheri. You're like me undercover. No, that's not what it is. It's like we share one brain cell and here we are.
Sometimes I think we do. Sometimes we think we do. We think very much alike. It's scary sometimes. It really, really is. But in all seriousness, JT, break a leg tonight. You're going to do awesome. It'll be fun. And we'll get to, remember, you got those scouting reports you'll have to dig up for Craig Button.
Right.
Too,
I texted
so make sure
Craig
you're taking
last
notes.
Night.
Yeah, make sure you're taking notes, and we'll get your full scouting report about the experience on Monday when we return. But that's going to do it for today's show. You can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. For Julia Tesheri, you'll listen to Leafs Lunch. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, folks. Gameplay with Matt Cause next.